Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Saturday, August 5th at the Irvine Improv. Don't miss the Podcasting Masterclass with Adam Carolla.
Find out how I started my podcast and turned it into a media empire by attending my Podcasting Masterclass at the Irvine Improv, 10 a.m., August 5th. I'll be joined by the team at Podcast One, the largest podcast network in the world, including my friends, billionaire Norm Pattiz and CEO Jim Burke. This six-hour course will unlock the secrets to get you started and grow your very own show from the ground up.
Plus, Bald Brian, Gina Grad, and Dawson from the show will be there. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, MMA fighter Smilin' Sam Alvey, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, his mom would hate today's guest, not only for being in the MMA, but also for smiling. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A church with a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. One dump jump. All right, I'm excited because Smilin' Sam Alvey's coming in. He's got a UFC record of 30 wins, 9 losses, and 1 draw, which I always think of the draws. I hate the draws of life.
Sure.
I had a double draw in the grout cleaning department today. I know it sounds cliche, but I had this happen, and then I'll get to UFC. I see a lot of these guys are, 18-7-2. Mm-hmm. It's like the two. Imagine just trying to kill somebody with your fist, and they in turn were trying to kill, actually, fist and feet and mm-hmm. knees everything they had, and at the end, it just went down as, not this, not that. Yeah.
We're both about as good as each other.
We're not really counting. Yeah, you can get your orbital socket repaired surgically, but this doesn't count.
Yep.
Just philosophically, would you rather lose?
I guess I think I would. Like, I think I'd rather be, you know, 19-9 rather than 19-8-1.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's confusing. It also makes people go, what happened?
It is unsatisfying.
Yeah. Right. So Smiling Sam is coming in here, and I just love the guy because he's a great fighter, and he smiles. And we love that about him. And I was talking about Spider-Man earlier in the day, and I said, you know, the latest Spider-Man is very enjoyable because he's so self-deprecating, as he used to be. When I see the new trailer for the new Batman versus Icon versus Napoleon Man versus...
he's got some invincible Aquaman
is in there, and he's like, you know, and he's like, I'm glad to see you kids playing nice. He's getting on my nerves. Like, okay, stop. It just feels sort of homoerotic and weird, but anyway.
Sort of. Somewhere between sort of and very.
Yes. But Spider-Man has a sense of humor about himself, and then he solves crime. And Smiling Sam beats everyone up in an octagon, and then he smiles. I like that.
That's what makes Spider-Man a special kind of character, because at the you know, when his alter ego isn't the billionaire playboy or whatever, he's a kid, you know, in this incarnation.
He's
a high school kid. He's unsure of himself and trying to, you know, talk to girls and stuff.
How it always should have been. All right. Mai Tai. Mai Tai.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Good to me.
I don't know why. I would like people to know. This is an important thing. Aha. I want people to know what we're doing, not trying to beat me specifically on a technicality, which is what a lot of people do. I would like my kids to understand what the plan was versus all the super specifics that are confusing and oftentimes lead to that tie. I will give you a tie in the tile department. And it's weird when people have that gene. Now, people can say they don't have that gene, meaning there's the down rounders.
Okay.
Always, you guys know those people. If you went and played a theater or club or whatever, and the place held 500 people, and you were talking about it, and somebody goes, how many people were there? That person just goes, oh, the place holds like 350. Mm-hmm. That's the down rounder. And people, you can go, oh, well, no, it's 500. Then you sound like a douche because you're the one who played the theater, but you knew Mike August said it held 500 and you sold 500 tickets, but you have someone next to you knocking 30% off of that. And you can go, well, maybe they didn't know. Okay, that's my argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they didn't know, why did they say 350?
Right. Well, they offered a super specific number.
And then secondly, if they truly didn't know, like my broken cash register that always shortchanges you, you should walk away with an extra 20 once in a while. People go, the cash register is broken. Yeah, it's not, it can't be broken in that it doesn't pay me my full due, my full change every time. So with the down rounders, if it is in fact they're wrong, or, you know, they would immediately go, oh, sorry, I didn't know how big it was. Right. In which case you'd go, why did you volunteer so quickly the answer? But okay, you're going to go, look, wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't get a head count, whatever. Fine. Now the next 500 seat theater we play, you're going to say 650 when someone asks, except for you never will.
Yep.
So you are a down rounder.
Psychological.
There's a lot of those who live amongst us. And it's a weird thing. Gary will catch it. No, maybe Gary. I don't know if you were there. Funny thing. That down rounders also go up rounders in a negative way. Mm. So I did Jimmy Kimmel's show for the 51st time.
I was there for this.
Right. Now, I know in advance, I did Jimmy Kimmel's show for the 51st time, and the following morning I came here, and I was doing Ace on the House, or as my dad calls it, Ace on the Roof. That's another kind of rounding, which is never knowing the name of anything and not thinking that's disrespectful to the person. But you're still doing the guy, DeBroche, whatever, on the
puppets, the call puppet.
On the comedy
phone puppets
show.
Puppet phones.
Comedy. What is that?
Station?
Comedy station? Yeah, like they just never, they never know. Right. It was the morning I was going to go do Kimmel, and I said, I have the record for most appearances on Kimmel. And then I said to Ray, how many do you think that is? And then I paused and I went, oh, it's always going to be an unsatisfying answer because the down rounders can go the other direction.
Must be 150.
Right. He went over 100.
Yeah.
And of course, now I got to tell him it's half of that, which is that impressive? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, how many goals do you think I scored in high school for my soccer team? 100. 50.
That's still good. That's impressive.
So it's funny. Ray is a down rounder, but down rounders go both directions.
They can set the down rounder. Yeah. They set you up to do the down
whatever
rounder.
It is, you're not going to feel that good about yourself when they're done. And they don't know it. But here's my argument. How come I knew his number was going to be twice as high as the actual number? And if you really think about it, 51 times on a show, especially there's a math you can do, which is when is the last time you heard me saying I was going to do Kimmel's or did Kimmel's? And if it's been 7 or 8 months, how many times could you physically do it?
How long has the show been around? How often?
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, the down rounders work both directions. But I'll tell you one thing. I like to say this, and I absolutely mean it. Disappointers never disappoint. They never did. They never disappoint. If you have someone who's a disappointer or perpetually late or whatever it is, and all of a sudden they show up one day and they're 15 minutes early to the movie, the restaurant, to your house, to whatever it is, it will never be, I just started to show up early. It will be, Jesus, you're early. And they go, no, I'm not. I'm 15 late. We're supposed to start at 12:30. We're starting at 1.
I'll be back in a half hour.
It'll straighten it right out for you. All right. So, saw the movie Dunkirk.
As did I.
I have thoughts.
A lot of people talking about it.
I have thoughts. I will give my thoughts, and then we will see if they mirror those of young bald Brian over here. Let's see. Let's tell Adam, pussy cop hangs out in the neighborhood. Oh, okay. We'll get to that. I took my son to see Dunkirk last night.
Is that rated R?
PG-13.
Okay.
Stop judging, Brian.
I get a boner for any World War II films.
Sure.
World War One, World War II, sweet spot. Vietnam always gets kind of political and preachy and weird. So
and never fun.
It's never fun. It's always just a weird bummer, and we have to go massacre a village, and chicks run around on fire.
Yeah, girlfriend Vietnam.
Right. So the Vietnam is too far gone. Yeah. And the World War One's a lot of guys riding on horses and dragging artillery with wooden wheels and stuff. The mechanized world of World War Two, sweet spot. So I look forward to those. I have like two sweet spots. I have Tarantino movies and big time World War Two movies.
Inglourious Bastards is where it meets.
Right. Yeah.
That's the X.
That's what I look forward to. First, something you should look forward to: Leah Remini, man, Scientology and the aftermath. Emmy-nominated groundbreaking doc series. Yeah. She was a Scientologist, and now we find out the aftermath. Well, she came in here and she talked about it. I love the first season. Season 2 returns August 15th. 10 all new episodes. Leah and high-level former Scientologist. I'm laughing because Matt was doing the Leah Remini. He was explaining to me, and at some point I said, pretty sure it's Leah Remini.
Yeah.
But I don't say to people, I know 100% it's Leah Remini, because I don't want to feel bad. And I don't say, everyone knows it's Leah Remini, and it's always been Leah Remini. I just go, pretty sure it's Leah Remini. And then when I talk to him an hour later, he's like, hey, I checked on that whole thing. Turns out you're right.
Huzzah!
Which I knew in the first place, but I don't want to pile on.
Sure.
That's all. Anyway.
Just wait till the library.
Very benevolent of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just wait till there's a million people listening, not just you and him.
Leah Remini. Mm-hmm. She's visits with high-level former Scientology executives and members.
Yeah, she came in here and talked a little
delves
bit.
Delves into shocking stories of abuse and harassment and heartbreak. This is compelling stuff. This season, Leah continues her quest to give a voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology. And it helps them take action. It's really compelling. Check it out. You watch your first season online, or you watch on demand and on the A&E app, everyone. So it's August 15th, season 2. Coming up, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath. I'm a sucker for these movies. I'm pumped. I took Sonny with me. Said it's World War II. He should learn something about World War II. I enjoyed the movie, but I was never really hooked, and they never drilled down on a character. I've said the biggest mistake you can make is you get 40 minutes into a movie and you turn to the person next to you and you go, do you care? Do you care what happens to this guy or this girl? This person, do you want to see if they make it out of the mine shaft in one piece or through the war or whatever it is?
I did the same thing. And the stranger next to me kept saying, shut up.
And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. I really didn't care. I didn't really even know the character. I didn't know what he had to lose or gain. I mean, obviously getting off of the beachhead would be a good thing. There was no real connection. There was a bunch of stories going on simultaneously. There was two parts. I'm glad you saw it. A little bit of a spoiler alert, but not really. It's hard to have spoiler alerts. There's a couple things. They had a bunch of different Spitfire pilots, and it was weird. They just sort of toggled from one to the other to the other to the other.
Well, they didn't have that's a problem that I'll talk about. They didn't have a bunch. They had three in total, two that really were in the movie, Tom Hardy and the other guy, and they told the story out of order for almost no reason. And when you tell a story out of order, like in Pulp Fiction or in a movie like Memento, you do it for Christopher Nolan, another Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
You do it to add dramatic impact. You know, you tell a story out of order because you're setting up other things.
And Memento could be told no other way.
Yes. Whereas this one was completely unnecessary. They were telling the story out of order that made almost no right.
I didn't even get that it was out of order.
Oh, okay, so there were events that happened. You're like, oh, I saw that. Oh, I guess that's that happened before. That the story was told out of order.
I couldn't figure out who the pilots were and then what was happening to them, and they kept seemed to be ditching
in
the ocean.
It was needlessly elaborate.
Right. So I was confused by the what pilot. And obviously, when the pilot is wearing full headgear and goggles and the hoodie and everything, it's like you can't tell with the English accent. It's hard to tell who they are.
Sure. And Tom Hardy is one of them. He's super famous. The other guy's semi-anonymous looking, so it was confusing.
Did not know that. Also, there was no real sort of ticking clock. The Germans weren't encroaching. There was no imminent danger.
Absolutely right. Telling the story out of order also undercut any tension because all of a sudden you're fast-forwarding and you're rewinding and you're like, oh, wait, so are they in more danger now or in less danger?
Or they must have made it through because now we know we're in the future.
Also, there was a really weak narrative. And this is what you're saying. The characters, like, there was no plot. There's a story, like, this happens and this happens and this happens. There's no plot. There's not, like, the character must do this in order to do this. It was just, here, these things happen, and here's a little more of this. And certain individual scenes were kind of tense and well done, but overall did not support the weight of this story.
No, it's like this young guy met this young guy and they hung out, but we don't know anything about their relationship or what they're doing or where they're going.
Totally on the same page.
And didn't really, literally the lead had, you know, a page and a half of dialogue and Harry Styles had half a page of dialogue. And I don't even know what they were doing, where they're coming from. Fine. Visually, it was very compelling. It was fun.
The stuff on the boat was semi-interesting. I mean, on the civilian boat.
The part that got,
with Mark Rylance and the kids.
Yeah, that was the best story, was the civilian boat guy, in terms of a cohesive story. But the part that bumped me the most, sort of spoiler alert, is at some point, they all jumped into a beached vessel, like a fishing boat that was medium-sized. Not a military boat. And they all jumped in to take shelter and wait for the tide to lift them up and get them to safety, to sea. And then at some point, somebody started shooting at the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of unclear.
But it wasn't like heavy artillery. It's like shot, shot.
Right.
Every 5 seconds.
And then they figured out, they're just taking target practice, which seemed weird because I was thinking, are they just Germans on the beach shooting at a piece of metal?
That was the idea that I got because the Germans had them surrounded and they were just over that, over the brush. So I think they were just Germans who were just out of sight taking target practice.
kind of a weird thing to do wartime, like make a lot of noise with your gun shooting at something very large alone on the beach.
Maybe not the best decision.
Drawing attention from
to your position.
Right. Yeah. But then at a certain point, the tide came in and they were swept out to sea, and they kept saying, like, plug the holes. Plug holes, but there was 100 holes in the side of the boat.
Yeah, by that point, they had been taking a pretty heavy shelling.
Just from rifles. So there's a lot of holes the size of a dime all over. And then, next thing you know, they're in the middle of the sea. Mm-hmm.
The craft didn't seem seaworthy at that point.
Not when it had all the holes near the bottom there. And even when the water was like up to their necks, they were like, just plug the hole.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But there was 100 holes.
It's a microcosm of what was wrong with the whole movie. It was
sounds
like,
exhausting.
This potentially could have been a pretty compelling scene, but it was just undercut by these needless details.
What did Sonny think? Was he into it?
He announced...
I imagine he had a hard time following it.
He sort of announced that he liked it at the end because... Well, first off,
those dirty krauts got theirs.
He announced that he liked it. I think he was just kind of being nice to me, and just because he's a good kid, because that's a tough watch for an 11-year-old. Like, just not a lot to follow. But he said he enjoyed it. His biggest laugh. They're doing like
this ought to be good.
They're doing an Inconvenient Truth 2 Electric Boogaloo or something,
and we saw
the trailer for it. And when Trump came up, everyone started booing and actually. Hissing.
Wow.
Ooh, you don't hear that anymore.
It was like the trailer shows like a piece of iceberg slide off and land on a special needs school with like indigenous kids. And then it shows Trump going, who's going to water these greens, and holding like a golf club and laughing. And everyone's just like, oh, like it's the most effective trailer in the world, because obviously you have Trump at his Trumpiest and they have him like, you know, stuffed into a tuxedo.
Juxtaposed and collapsing our shelf.
Hey, it's a little warm in here. I like it.
Hey.
More membership for the club. And then they show another iceberg, like mash. A group for indigenous retarded kids, you know, and it's like, oh, and people in the audience are like, no,
it's
like, kill him. Yeah. Like, literally, he's going to get shot by a crazy environmentalist, because when you watch the trailer, you just go, okay, the Earth's falling apart.
Villain of the movie.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You show smokestacks, you show people crying, you show floods, you show everything, mm-hmm. and then you just show big picture Trump holding a golf club, and you're like, he's got to be stopped, like in his magic golf club wand that he waves around.
Happens.
Yeah, you really do just kind of go, we got to kill this guy because he's killing all. In a way, it's not that far fetched. Like when you go, like, oh, come on, please, whatever. If you go, look, none of us. It's a stupid connection, but. Okay, everyone signs off on the fact that, hey, if you're a moral and decent person, if you could have got hold of Hitler and put him down when he was in college or high school, you'd be doing the world a favor.
Yeah.
Because there's one guy who's going to do this. Well, if one guy's going to do this to us in the environment, well, it's a pretty simple math for
Some
a people. Handful of nut jobs. But anyway, people were hissing. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a hiss. Like, not an ironic hiss, but an actual hiss.
Like a cat with headlights.
And, like, you'd hear some, like, 61-year-old woman go, get out of here! Like, just, like, scream at the screen. Like, what he elicits in people is insane. It's perfect. It's really like he's like a performance artist.
Especially insane, because if they were at a rally or if they encountered him in person, that's one thing. They're watching a TV. They're watching a screen.
Screaming at it. So
what's in a screen?
Sonny was delighted. By the fact that people were screaming at the screen. It was awesome.
I'm glad we talked about Dunkirk, because I try to save Baldywoods for movies I like. I don't like just crapping on a movie for 5-10 minutes, and Dunkirk was a movie I was looking forward to, and it ended up just being kind of meh.
I was a little surprised by the 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
I guess it's objectively well-made, like well-crafted, but this is not a movie I could recommend very highly.
It's... Not, I mean, I always like, wonder.
Honestly, Spider-Man's a more, certainly a more fun movie, but probably
and followable.
Movie. Absolutely.
I always wonder, I always have this conspiracy theory that they'll give European English, like if that was a little more gung-ho American, it would slide down the tomato meter a little bit. A little more Eurocentric.
There's no Americans in the movie.
And there's no aggressors. There's German. We don't see any Germans. Per se. Yeah, but there's
the
nobody.
Planes are dropping bombs, but there's no personified bad guy.
There's no one to put a face on.
Our guys are fleeing, not fighting.
Right.
Nobody's fighting. So it's like a war movie about Europeans with no violence, essentially. And that will get you an extra couple of points versus Johnny, you know, flag
Michael
waving
Bay,
USA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't go well. Yeah, like this is higher up than Black Hawk Down.
Wow.
Well, certainly considering the relative quality of the movies, yeah, you're right. And Christopher Nolan is...
Well, I mean, that's upsetting to you, that on Rotten Tomatoes...
This has a better score.
Yeah, exactly. Especially considering the relative, you know, of the movies.
I think one is quite a bit better than the other.
I think so.
But one is very sort of... has a pro-American theme and lots of violence, and that you can shave a couple.
Yeah, and Christopher Nolan, the director, is a critical darling. You know, Memento and The Dark Knight, all those movies, Interstellar and all that stuff, so...
What's Black Hawk Down top critics and then Dunkirk top critics?
I got to feel like it's 93.
It's lower than you would like.
Yeah, I want to be 101.
If it's not 100.
101 would be perfect.
All right.
Dunkirk is at 96 with the top critics. Black Hawk Down, 69.
No!
Wow!
Brian, I wouldn't have brought it up. I wouldn't have brought it up. I didn't know it was going to upset you. You know, I don't bring up things to you unless they're upsetting.
That's going to make you sad.
Especially with your medical condition.
You should swap those scores.
I knew it. See, when you were kind of going, one was better than the other. I knew you forgot that low score, or you blocked it out of your memory.
Gary, upset me even more. What's the regular critic score consensus for Black Hawk Down?
76.
Damn.
Yeah, you just swapped those scores.
69 and 96. That is does not represent the two films.
No. Not at all.
One was, pardon the pun, rudderless. I should write.
Well,
yeah.
It left this reviewer cold.
Says this reviewer.
I heard a review where they were saying it might be off-putting that there weren't more women or men of color represented in the movie.
Mm-hmm. This World War II movie about
a bunch of white English and French guys.
English and French soldiers.
Just the idea
should we
that
prepare
we have
for
to,
that?
We have to preface the thing. Yeah. It's going to be upsetting. That
Trigger
what? They
warning.
Didn't get blown up? Or
yeah. I think a lot of these reviews in years from now will not hold up to, you know, to scrutiny.
Off-putting. There's no women of color. Where's Rihanna? When you need her in a war movie.
I heard
movie.
People call it a masterpiece, and it's like,
no.
This is not in the top half of his movies.
No, I think it's one of those movies where the filmmaking, the skill of the filmmaking is amazing.
I saw it in 70mm. Glorious, you know, glorious footage.
But the film itself, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
And the reason it's no is because at the end, you didn't think, where's this kid going off to? Where's he going to be in 10 years? What's going on? He just went, we're done.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it
there
much
it is.
In the subsequent days.
Joe, 32, Los Angeles.
Hey, Adam, do you know Bob?
Yeah, man.
Get on.
Mm-hmm.
I was just glad you guys were talking about movies today. Movie I saw when I was about Sonny's age was a movie called Alive.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one.
Yeah, they'd eat each other in the Andes.
Yeah, cannibalism and all that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I was about Sonny's age.
Sonny, that's your next watch.
He doesn't like that stuff. That was one of those movies, they do it a lot. I think they did it in Lost, Alive and Lost. They have these great plane crash scenes where they shoot it from inside the plane and the whole tail section blows off and the plane is still flying level, but there's no tail section at all. And I don't know a ton about planes, but if you blow off the entire tail section, the thing will just flutter.
A little whirly bird.
You can't just keep sort of steady as she goes, but it makes for a great shot because everyone's getting sucked out of the back of the thing.
Great looking plane crash sequence in that movie.
Yeah, I like the Live. In that department, but with a totally different environment, Flight of the Phoenix, it's all right. Like, there's an old one and a new one. They made a new one with Dennis, with the crazy brother and
Hopper.
Kind of, no.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid's in it.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah. Kind of. It's kind of an interesting watch. I would recommend that one, too. But anyway, go ahead.
I was also going to recommend the Band of Brothers. You ever check that one out? It's the World War II.
No, I should. I hear great things about it.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you definitely love that one. If you mentioned you got a boner for World War II.
I do.
Things. Yes. Yeah. that's all I got for you, man.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Short and sweet.
Yeah. I saw Alive in the theaters. Must have been 91. 90,
yeah, so 91, 92.
Somewhere in there. You can kind of tell by who you saw it with.
Yeah.
I saw it with a couple of guys from the Acme Theater, which would have been me at the Acme at this particular time. All right. Let's see. Question about parents making me who I am. Terry, 53, Illinois.
Hey, Adam, Gina, Bald, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Okay, I've got to ask you, do you think that if you had interested, engaged, reasonable parents, you would be the success you are today? Or to put another way, do you give your parents any credit at all?
Yeah,
for
hello?
Being you? Yeah, you.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I mean, I made it through childhood without being severely burned or killed.
Okay, chalk one up with the pro column.
Yeah, well, look, I'm alive. I mean, that's
physically scarred.
That's good.
Physically, emotionally burned to a crisp.
I'm trying to think because they're really.
I mean, they provided you with a lot of material, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I said to Matt the other day. I said to Matt Fondelier about 45 minutes ago, and yes, I can blame my parents for many things, but the system is pretty fucked up too. And the reason I say that is I said to Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, I'm doing some math in my head. Yes. So I said, we were looking at some sunglasses online. I'm trying to get some good driving sunglasses because I'm going to go do some races coming up. Think I'm getting back in the professional Trans Am car and going to Circuit of the Americas, which is only F1 track here outside of Austin, which is going to be awesome, but I have to try to work that out. But I said to Matt after we did a little couple shopping over at Home Depot, he pushes the cart. I throw stuff into it.
Arm in arm, yeah, dancing down the aisles.
I question him, see if I can keep him on his toes, like if he knows what a dummy knob is. He guessed, but he was staring at it.
Did he just point to himself and get sad?
He pointed at his groin, yeah. Nope. So I said to him, we're looking up some glasses, and I got burned with the sunglasses. I buy everything online, but I bought some Ray-Bans, and when I bought them, they were really small and narrow, and there's nothing worse.
Certain things you got to in-person purchase. Yeah. You know what I mean? Jeans.
Yeah,
sunglasses.
You look like the lead singer from Rush when you get those stupid narrow. There's nothing worse than glasses that are too. They're not tall enough. Yeah. They're just too squinty or something. But when you see them online, they go, "Oh, yeah, that's what I want." And then they show up and they're sort of a miniature version
kind
of
RoboCopy.
Yes. Yeah. So I said, I want to order these glasses, but I want to make sure I don't want to get burned again with the mini versions of it. And I said, how tall does it say it is? And he said, it says it's 48 millimeters tall. And I said, okay, so that would be just
4.8 centimeters?
Just under half an inch. I said, I had to translate into I know what an inch and a half looks like. And I said, so just under half an inch? And then he checked it on his computer, and it was 1.489 or something inch. So it was like just under an inch and a half. Sorry, just an inch and a half.
4.8 centimeters.
Just missed it, yeah, by that. Yeah, except for 4.8 centimeters doesn't mean that much to me. I got to put it in inches. But anyway, then I paused, and I said, can you believe I was considered an idiot, like my entire life? Just an idiot. And not – I had – The guy I was most jealous of, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a Goodwill Hunting kind of thing. It was just, you're just an idiot. Not, you're an idiot who's, you're a genius who's angry or has turned his back on society. Right. No, no, just garden variety dumbo. Like, I was always just a dumbo. Family, friends, teachers, you know, faculty, counselors, just
total strangers.
Just a dumb, yeah, people driving by, giving a thumbs down as they pass me on the freeway. Making makeshift dunce caps out of craft paper and putting them on the head as they drove past. Just a dumbo. Like, I, you know, my friend Alex Arado ended up at Cal and ended up being a lawyer. You know, he was a goofball and a goof off, and he got the speech. You know, hey, you're a smart cookie, but you goof off all the time, and maybe it's not challenging enough for you, but you need to really kind of focus so you can get to the next level. He would get those kinds of speeches.
And you were standing nearby. Adam, did you need something? Are you lost?
You know, can't read Corolla?
I longed for those kind of, you got something, it's just not really working here. Nothing. I when I got out of high school, I picked up a carpet wand, and people are like, you hang on to that.
It's the first smart thing you ever done.
Hang on to that wand with both hands, son. Both hands. And when I graduated from that to picking up garbage on construction sites, the call went out to keep this job. I don't know how that worked. I know it sounds, a little inflating here, but I was always smart. I just never applied to school, and no human being who was, it wasn't, of course, you know, expect Ray to say anything. I'd write. Expect my parents to say anything. All right, maybe not. They're out of it. Somebody at some level, at some point, it never came up.
No guidance counselor.
Never. It never came up. No bosses. No, nothing. It was not, it was a non-issue. It was go dig a ditch. That is a weird.
So the failing of the, not the system, but of what people are supposed to, you know, recognize.
Yeah.
This kid has something that's a little non-traditional. Yeah.
I had grandparents that were sort of intellectuals who were smart people. Never discussed. So anyway, yes, a pox on my mom and my dad. Let's see.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I just looked at this today. No, yesterday. Adam, 45. Discovery Bay?
Ooh, sounds exotic.
I like that.
Discovery Bay, that's right.
Is that one of those ironically named places that sounds cool?
It's in the Bay
cool?
Area. It's a man-made bay, right? It's a man-made body
good
of water next
for
to Pittsburgh, GZV, California.
Man. Discovery Bay. Is it man-made?
Yes. I mean, what?
Easy.
Oh, did it fall off? Oh, okay.
He's offended.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm curious about this, too, though. I think it's a safety issue. Can I say what he was calling about?
Yeah.
He said, why is it necessary for our home address to be on our driver's license? I've been asking that forever because I think it's a safety issue. If I lose it, I don't want some random person having my home address.
I can tell you that it doesn't have to be. We had a celebrity roll through here about 5 years ago, and I don't know why I ended up seeing his driver's license, but I mean, I can say it's Zach Levi, and he has a P.O. box on there. And he said it, when he was first getting into the business, he got advice from a manager or somebody that if you're a celebrity, you should not have that on there. So if you get pulled over. So
what about the rest of us schmucks?
Presumably everyone can do a P.O. box if you really want to go through the process.
Yeah. B.O. box. Good name for cheese. Oh, wait a minute. Did I screw that up?
How dare you?
All right. Yeah, I was just looking at mine, and mine has my money manager's address on it. Not
shake him down.
Not my own. But yeah, I agree. Or all the weirdo bouncers. They're just standing in front of clubs all day long and
like
pick out the cute blondes.
Yep. TSA, so. Everyone's looking at your license.
Yeah, using those little clickers. Ooh, gonna stock this one.
Fatty, get on pass. They're breaking and entering friends. I mean, they know where you are. And they're gonna know when you leave.
I don't like it.
Good point.
Wow.
All right, I'll tell you guys about Smart Mouth. Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur gas. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as the stanky breath. Doesn't matter if you work out all day like Smiling Sam Alvey, or you drive a Lambo all day like the Ace Man. You don't want your mouth to smell like wet garbage. Foul breath? That'll ruin a social situation, sabotage relationships or career prospects. Let's not let that happen to you. Tell you what, go to smartmouth.com. You can find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you like to shop. Just make sure you get it. Again, Dr. Drew, He's a doctor. He loves this stuff because it's a two-parter and it's effective. SmartMouth.com. All right. Speaking of the Home Depot with Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, we were walking down the tool aisle. I was looking for a tungsten bit or a diamond bit, a bit that was good for drilling either ceramic tile or glass, and there was a song that was pumping, and pumping so much so that when Mike August called me about some business, I could barely hear him. I don't know if we have the song.
Nothing screams Home Depot.
Oh, God.
It's Rihanna.
Oh, drop it. Gonna drop it.
It's now, I know the number one answer from when the guy with the puny brain who picks up garbage on a construction site says, what the fuck? Everyone goes, I think they know what they're doing. But all there is in this place, this is the Glendale Home Depot at noon. There are some middle-aged folks and some Mexican contractors and then the people who work there who don't seem happy to be there. And this is pumping. And I don't know when or how it became. I will investigate this the same time I investigate how passion fruit became ubiquitous in 20 minutes. It went from who cares? No, like,
what is
this?
It
went from, hey, this is for girls' sleepover parties when they're singing into a hairbrush and dancing around. Not the Home Depot.
Yeah.
Not the sports bar. Not the steakhouse.
It's many steps removed from where it should be or where it was.
I was being annoyed by this.
It's hard to think when this is on.
Matt was being annoyed by it, but he knew what it was and then apologized for knowing what it was.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's a remix. We have classical music.
Yep.
We have jazz. Why at the Home Depot? And who could ever... Now, here's the whole thing. I object to this. And the reason I object to it...
Do we have to keep hearing it?
Yes. I object to this because I'm trying to have a conversation of semi-importance with Mike August on the phone. And I'm also kind of simultaneously trying to find these specialized bits. And I can't fucking concentrate. Like, I can't think.
It's a lot of bandwidth being...
Yeah.
If you would put in classical... actually helps you get your focus on a little bit. What is going on? Like, why? What is this? And I know what it is. All right, we can stop it.
Thank God.
Here's the deal. Here's what we've decided. The best thing you can be is a young chick in our society.
Damn
that's
it.
The best. That's the best you can be.
Ship has sailed.
The best you can be is a young chick. A lusted after nubile, and I don't want to get weird.
Easy, buddy.
I'm just saying, there is no celebrity like a hot 19-year-old chick celebrity. I've been in rooms with many celebrity dudes. I've been out to dinner with a bunch of rich, powerful dudes. And when the hot cocktail waitress comes by, she is the celebrity in this setting. We have decided that there's nothing better than young. And there's nothing better than chick and or young chick. And thus, because there's nothing better than this, we must then spread it everywhere.
But don't they know their own audience, that the young hot chick isn't going to pick out her own tiles at Home Depot? Maybe the guy who listens to Skynyrd is, but
that
she's
would
like, not.
That would suggest they thought about it. It's just Madison Avenue said we need young and we need young chicks. Like every single thing just has to be like a Ross clothing outlet commercial, dress for less,
right.
You know, just hot people, young energy, young chick. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So we go to the sports bar in Detroit, energy, young chick. We go to the airport bar, energy, young chick. We go to the goddamn steakhouse in Manhattan, and you go to the Home Depot. It's fucking retarded. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I can't figure out it. Aha.
Oh.
Same thing that's going on college campuses is going on here. The adults have decided to stop being adults. They just want whatever the kids want, give them what they want. Whatever the kids, whatever, they must be right. The students must be right, or they're young, so we're old, so they know, so we're stepping back. And if they want to take over the dean's office, they can take over the dean's office, and they want to pump Rihanna over at the Glendale Home Depot, then we'll pump it there, because we're not involved anymore.
Yes, to that point, my theory is very similar, which is the people who work there, the young chicks, whether you're at the sports bar and you're the waitress or the bartender, or you're checking out or doing whatever at the Home Depot, that's what they want to hear. So I think they're playing what they want, because they're all
I don't
day.
Think they're allowed Wrong. To choose.
You think that Home Depot corporate
it's
is
all
is putting,
pumped in.
Yes, I don't think there's no way you're allowed. There's no way they can make a choice. I don't think, number one. Number two, you may not have been to the Home Depot in a while. There are not a bunch of young chicks working there. They're a bunch of
it's like a car wash.
Old, yeah. They're
be sweet.
They're middle-aged dudes and or chicks, but they're put upon chicks. They're the forced to get out and work, you know.
They'd rather not.
There's nothing youthful about that place. So and they can't pick the theme. I would be blown away if Home Depot's corporate strategy was, hey, if you're into Guar, play Guar. Like, if that's your Home Depot and you want to hear a little Guar, I don't think they would do it.
The employee of the month gets to choose all
Somebody would put some gangster rap on. Yeah. Somebody would get sued because someone was with their kid or whatever it is. My point is, if we have studies that essentially say when you pipe in classical music, it makes the inmates fight less. Mm-hmm. And it soothes people or whatever, then just pipe it in. Now, I'm wide open to somebody telling me that it gets people to move faster and get the hell out of there. Like, me and Matt were so annoyed and agitated, we got the hell out of there as fast as
check out even faster.
Efficient.
You're not meandering if you're listening to a waltz like you would, but it's bothersome.
Yeah.
And it's also ubiquitous. And it's also bad. Like, that's not a good,
that's
not good music. Like, the ultimate is, it's bad. Mm-hmm. And it's ubiquitous. That's a bad combo. Everywhere and sucks.
Yep.
Thank you. Unless you're a vacuum cleaner. Then it's the ultimate.
But in that rare instance, that's the only time.
Perfect.
All right. Let's see. Smiling Sam Alvey out there. He's got a fight. Do we got a clip of the fight? We got a clip. Gary pulled a clip of a fight that he liked.
Yeah, this is a fight from 2012. He's fighting Leo Kuntz for a spot on the Ultimate Fighter season 16 show. So this is the very beginning of the season to get in.
Just took a nice leg hit there. Smiling.
He's eating some leg kicks already.
Smiling Sam's eating leg kicks. And Smiling. We shot on Smiling. Smiling's holding him up.
That didn't go according to plan.
He's pushing him off.
He's interesting, man. Smiling's walking him down. Yeah, exactly. Getting big for a 170 pounder today.
That's it.
Holy.
He just threw a big right hook and just flattened that guy. And now he's smiling. All right. Thank you, Gary.
Not like he was chilling, but he was definitely hanging back until just that moment. And it was over. That was very exciting.
With those 3-ounce gloves, man. Anyway, one of my favorites. Smiling Sam Alvey from the USC in studio next.
Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxy.
Oh, man.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
But I can help you go follow your woman through the wedding.
Loxy. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
Now the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Hosted by comedian Matt Edgar. July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. This week at adamcarolla.com, take a knee with Adam Carolla and J.D. Roth.
You got to demand more out of your life. I have a saying at my house and at the office, do what you got to do before you do what you want to do. I know you want to play video games, or I know you want to go out, but did you do what you have to do first? Get that out of the way. And when you learn early on to get the important things out of the way and then go enjoy yourself, then that creates a great work ethic.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at adamcarolla.com.
Smiling Sam Alvey in studio. I've always been a fan because I watch the UFC and my son and I watch and we go, who do we vote? Who do we root for? And obviously the white guy. But sometimes two white guys fight each other. Now what do we do?
Now what?
The whiter guy.
The guy with the least tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's few with less tattoos than me.
Right. And I like Sam because he smiles and he doesn't have any tats and I'm always rooting for that guy. I love it when people can be friendly and not have
demeanor.
That crazy persona and treat it like a sport. You know, you don't have to be mean to play tennis or even to play baseball or basketball. You just have to be good at the sport.
Yeah, that's what everyone always asks. Why are you smiling? It's just, I get to do something most people dream about doing. I get paid to do it. I get flown to do it. There is not a reason in the world I shouldn't be smiling.
It's the ultimate friendly championship.
UFC fight night in Mexico City. That's 114. Is that one? Wait a minute. Why is it 114? Is that it? We up to 114?
Wait. Yeah, not pay-per-views, but the fight nights.
They number those differently.
I was confused. Okay. Yeah, you're fighting Rashad Evans, and he's a legend in this
really
sport.
Oh, he really is.
And it'd be a great notch and a great win to have on your resume. What people don't realize, Smiling Sam at 39-1, you know, UFC is not boxing. It's not Floyd Mayweather Jr. You know, you have your Tito Ortizes, your household names that are going into the Hall of Fame, if not already elected to the Hall of Fame. And those guys are like 16-12 or something. It's not in the boxing world. You'd be a journeyman slash tomato can with one of those records. UFC is not that. And so 30-9 is pretty damn impressive for the UFC.
Yeah. When I started fighting, it was never my goal to get to the UFC. I didn't know anything about fighting. I just thought I was tough. I got in the cage and I found out I wasn't that tough. So then I started doing it more and more and more. And before I knew it, I had a lot of fights. And then I kind of learned about the UFC. I said, all right, I'll do that. So I kept fighting and eventually got into the UFC. Now I think this will be my 12th fight with the UFC. And I'll never look back. I love what I do so much, whether it's with the UFC or Bellator or MFC, or I've been around the world twice, any of those organizations. Just getting the chance to step in that cage and do what I do best has just been a real blessing.
So Rashad Evans is one of the guys that had probably best years behind him, but a pretty formidable guy.
How old is he?
Rashad's probably 40 now.
We'll
figure it out. 36. He seems like he I just guess because he's been around a long time. And also
37
in the world of MMA, you know, Dan Henderson's your coach and there's a Randy Couture's and guys like that. The being 40 doesn't mean anything. And it means a lot if you're playing in the NFL, and it means something if you're boxing. But the way the MMA works, you don't get old. 37 is not old. 37 is prime.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'll let you know when I get there. I know Dan. He's 46 now. He retired at 46, and he's still as dangerous now as he's ever been. He may not have the get up and go to do it twice a day, three times a day, every day of the week, but for 15 minutes, he's as good as anyone.
I think I'll answer for Sam.
Please do.
I will.
Give me your expertise. What
goes when you're young, I mean, what goes when you get older, the first thing that goes is your quickness. The quickness is the thing that goes, but your strength doesn't really go.
Makes sense.
A lot of those strongman guys are like 40, 42, 45. You can be plenty strong in your 40s, but you do lose a little quickness. So you have your strength, and in boxing, it's so much about speed and quickness. You're not wrestling guys to the ground and trying to choke them out and all that kind of stuff. So you have the strength. You lose a little of the speed, quickness, but it's such an involved mental game. There's so many aspects to it. Boxing is pretty one-dimensional. Mm. It's good to know, but you can beat your prime at 26. This has jiu-jitsu and many forms of martial arts and kickboxing and boxing. There's so many different techniques that a guy like Dan Henderson, while he's lost the step and the speed, has so much knowledge, and so much of that comes into the game. What technique to throw, where you are, what's going to do it, that you can overcome the slight loss of speed with the large gain of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan didn't, I'm 31 right now, Dan didn't even have his first professional fight till he was 30. And now he's had one of the greatest careers in all of MMA. And it was, he just kept adding on to what he knew. And until now, he knows more than anybody. And it's been one of the reasons he's such a blessing to have as a coach is because he knows everything. He knows what to do and how not to let it happen.
Now you're fighting at 185.
Yes, sir.
The weigh-in date is when? The 4th?
The 4th.
The day before the fight's on the 5th.
Yep.
So we're about 14 days out or so, mm-hmm. whatever the math is. Gary, what's the math? What's the date today?
11.
11. We're 11 days out? Oh, boy. All right. What are you walking around at right now?
Right now I'm at about 207 pounds.
207.
Wait a second.
You got 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
To get down to 185.
What's your secret?
There goes a leg.
At this point, experience is my secret. I've been cut weight so many times. That clip you guys showed.
So you got to do 2 pounds a day. Essentially, you got 11 days to get to 22 pounds off, right?
Yeah. By next Monday, so a week before the fight, I'll be at 200 pounds. So that's 7 pounds in the next week. Then it starts the cut, and the cut is more water weight than anything. Then it's, I'm not going to be doing much physical activity. I'll run in the morning and maybe, you know, sweat lodge in the evening. But it all to get down to that
weight.
I don't
weight. Know gay code. What is this sweat lodge?
A sauna.
Oh. Dudes? All right, so for now, I'd like to break this up because I feel the same way too. I don't have to fight, but I'm doing Tucker Carlson tomorrow. I'd like to cut a little water weight. So what would you do at this point that's going to get you from 207 to 200? What is the first move?
I got to work out all week, like this morning, because I was coming on the show. I've worked out twice already this morning. What? I just got up a little earlier and did my workout.
Workout. What's the diet?
The diet. I actually work with the guy Conor McGregor works with, George Lockhart, and it has me eating about 6 times a day, smaller meals, a lot of yogurt. It's just easier for me to do yogurt than cook chicken every time or fish, and it just has me eating all day long, just smaller portions. I'm still at about 1,700 calories a day, but the whole secret is get your body to do it. There's no reason to eat so little. Like I used to do it. I used to eat less and work out more, and I was just tired all the time.
Right.
Since I've been working with George, he's got me all turned around. It's wonderful.
And do you wear the trash bag?
No.
Okay. That's like an old school high school move.
So we'll get down to about 200,
mm-hmm.
and then we have to start cutting water weight, mm-hmm. right?
Kinda. So if I weigh in on Friday, I drink as much water as I can get in me until about Thursday morning. I have about 24 hours where I'm drinking a lot less, where then I'll just sip. You never want to be thirsty. If you're thirsty or dehydrated or already started, never want to be dehydrated. You just want to be, I mean, until
all right, well,
you're
let's,
actually cutting.
Let's break down the game film even more. So a week, fights in 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be down to 200 in a week? Or
yeah, well, 7 days from now.
7 days from now. So that then leaves us 5 days to cut 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So what will those, how will that begin?
All right. So every morning before I eat, I'm going to go and run for about 30 minutes. And that's going to be pretty much my workout for the day. I might do like a yoga or something at night, but what I'm going to do less of is I'm going to eat a lot less.
You're going to eat a lot less.
Yeah. Every 3 hours, I'm going to eat something. Every other 3 hours, I'll eat a protein as well as kind of a nuts, you know, a little bit of a fat. And my body's just kind of kicking to overdrive because it's used to getting fuel and it's going to be starving.
And then what about the liquids?
The liquids, I'm drinking 2 to 3 gallons a day.
At that point.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm thinking you got to cut water weight, at that point, you're still drinking a ton of liquid.
Mm-hmm. Just you're fueling your body so it does what it wants to do. And it wants to lose weight when you're giving it so little. And it's used to getting so much and doing so much. You kind of train your body during camp to lose weight.
So it's counterintuitive to me. So what you're doing is you're giving it the water, and that's letting it do what it has to do, which mm-hmm. is cutting the weight. And you're putting in less calories.
Yep.
Now we get to day or 2 days out from the weigh-in. Mm-hmm. What are we doing now?
So let's say I weigh in Friday morning. Let's say Thursday morning. Now I'm going to cut the water back. Now
so Friday is the weigh-in.
Friday morning at between 9 and 11 a.m. is my weigh-in.
Mm-hmm.
So Thursday morning between 9 and 11 will be the last time I'm really chugging water. The rest of the time, I'm just not getting thirsty. Then it's if I feel like I might get, I'll take a sip of ice water. Then you go to ice water too.
Why ice water?
Not sure. He just told me to do it, so I do it.
What's Conor McGregor's guy?
Yeah.
I'd listen.
Yeah, he's worked real well for me.
So you're literally not getting dry mouth or thirsty, but just taking little sips.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of all day, never much. And it's amazing how much weight I'll lose just that day. I will still eat all day, but everything's a lot smaller. Now it's like I'm counting the nuts in my hand, and I'm counting everything I eat. That night, so Thursday night, I'm going to cut some of the weight. I'm going to go to a sauna, or the way I do it is I do it with a bathtub. A hot bath is how I cut all my weight now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I lose about 2 pounds every 20 minutes.
Really?
Yep.
In a hot bath?
Mm-hmm. And the way I used to do it is I make it as hot as I can stand. So I'm like tiptoeing in and just force myself in. It almost hurts. George, my dietitian, he says 105 degrees is all you need, where I'm used to like 111, and it's still 105. I lose about
why do you cut so much weight in that bath?
It's hot. It's your body's trying to keep itself cool.
So your body, interesting. So you're not sweating it out, but your body's working so hard to counteract this enemy that's coming from the outside, which is heat.
Mm-hmm.
And body's running the AC.
Right. Yeah. And you're staying in there as long as you can kind of tolerate.
Yep. And usually it's about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. As soon as I'm done with that bath, I get out and they put 20 towels on top of me, usually like a bedspread or something. And they'll let me just sweat naturally. I won't be nearly as hot as I was, but my body's still sweating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll stay in that for 5 to 10 minutes. When I'm done sweating, I get back in the bath for another 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, so you like mop up all that sweat back in. And how much weight can you cut with that technique?
As much as you need to. What we usually do is Thursday night, I'll cut 3 or 4 pounds, enough where I'm uncomfortable, but I can sleep. And then I'll go to bed, uncomfortable, but I can do it. I wake up early the next morning to finish my cut, which is usually about 3 or 4 pounds also. And I do the same thing just all morning until about 9 a.m. when I get down into the UFC, step on their scales, and then I start rehydrating.
Mm. Can you do a move for me? I think it's going to be a power move. Step on, usually wear like some Speedos or underpants or something like that, right?
Okay.
Step on, make the weight, but do a move where you insist on taking the underpants off anyway and having your guys hold the towel. They're going to be like, you made weight. I know. Playing it safe. Better safe than sorry.
I think I could do that. You just tune in next week.
I think that'd be a funny move. Where the commentator's like, he made weight. Why is he taking a Speedo off?
He's playing it safe.
Smiling sounds.
And that move where your seconds hold the towel in front of you.
Yeah. You know how it is now is the official weigh-in is at like 9 a.m. But then they have a for show weigh-in at night. So I'll weigh in at night. Maybe that's the time I take my underwear off is when I don't, when I've already made weight, you know, 6 hours ago.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that
play with house money.
Yeah. I like that.
So, Rashad is, Rashad's probably had 40, 45 fights in the UFC. Rashad Evans.
He's got less than me.
Oh, does he?
He's been in the UFC longer than me, so he's got more UFC fights than me, but he's got less actual fights than me.
Oh, so he didn't have as many sanctioned fights before he entered as you. Because he's been a fixture there since 2002 or something. He's been around for a long time.
He's I mean, I always have to say Dan Henderson is my favorite, because if I don't say he's my favorite, he beats me up.
Right.
Then I've always loved Anderson Silva. And Rashad's been right in there. Maybe Anderson and Rashad have been able to. I just love the way he moves and grooves while he's in that ring.
Yeah, he's a very skilled guy and seems to be a good guy by all accounts. I don't know. What are the Vegas odds have the fight at?
I haven't seen him yet.
Sure you have.
Has it been reviewed?
I've looked, but because there's such a big fight this weekend with, I think this is UFC 214 in Anaheim, they haven't put odds out on my fight yet. I've looked, but it's not there yet.
Well, Gary can look. And what is the John Bones Jones Cormier fight going off at? Because it's one of these things where it's like Cormier is an amazing competitor. And Bones Jones, I made this prediction, and I agree with me. I said many years ago, when this guy was just unbeatable 4 years ago or 3 years ago, at, you know, 23, and just unbeatable, because he's amazingly physically gifted. Mm-hmm. And you can take guys that are tough, and you can take guys that are determined, and you can do all that, and it all goes out the window for the insanely gifted person. And a lot of times gifted guys end up in the NBA or playing cornerback, but for football. But when you take incredibly physically gifted and then you put them in the UFC and you do all the toughness and the technique and everything, but and the crazy physically gifted, now you have sort of unstoppable. And he is insanely physically gifted and tough as nails. And I said, he will not be stopped, but he will stop himself, or he can stop himself. No one's going to beat him up in the ring. He's too insanely gifted, but he can get some DUIs, and he can get on the wrong side of the law, and he can fail some drug tests, and he can get suspended, and he can do all those things you do that happened to 25-year-old dudes who are amazingly gifted, and that's what happened to Bones Jones. Mm-hmm. He's
did himself in.
He did himself in. Now, you got Cormier, who's an amazing competitor, not as gifted, but nobody's as gifted as John Bones Jones. He's just an amazing competitor with gifts, who's going against a guy who's essentially unbeatable, except for he's been out for 2 years or so, right?
Yeah. It's one of those fun matchups. You know, Connor's out, so they're looking for the next guy, and this is the match that everyone's talking about. This is because they don't like each other. And you can kind of see why. Jones, he's gifted. I'm sure he's put in the hard work too, but there's a lot of gifts. I mean, I think he's got 84 inches of
wingspan.
His brothers are, one's on the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The others, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's funny.
He's a gifted family.
He's the least gifted of his family. He's the greatest fighter that's
ever
been.
Don't say that to him.
No, I won't.
His techniques are insane, and we got the odds. Jones got to be favored, although Cormier's been fighting nonstop and winning. So
Jones has only had one fight since his last fight with Bones with DC, which was in first weekend in January of 2015. So he's had one fight in over 2.5 years.
Right.
The John Jones odds are Jones is a favorite at minus 255 with Cormier at plus 205. And Sam, one of the sites we found, we have the odds for your fight, and you're a favorite at minus 130 over plus 105.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, that's about what I would have thought with my fight. That's bigger than I thought for Jones's fight.
So
that's
Jones
been going up.
Jones is favored by quite. So you bet a dollar, you get how much back with Jones?
255.
No, wait. No, that's the other way, right?
That would be. Sorry.
You get 55 cents. That's why I don't like it. I just went 3-1, 2-1.
So what was it again, Gary?
You bet $100 on -255. You bet $100 on John Jones.
Oh, you're gonna get,
and I know you'll get your $100 back.
38, 35, something like that.
Gary will figure it out. I hate
if it was -200, you get 50.
-200, you'll get 50 back on your.
You're doing the math right.
Yeah. Gary will figure it out. Anyway, it hurts. You bet 100 on Jones, you get what back? And don't include the 100. I hate that. All right.
I'm just going to, I guess, $30.
So that's going to be a crazy fight. And then John Jones could probably move up to heavyweight, right?
He could, but I don't know why he'd want to. He's been gone for so long. The division's kind of moved on. And the only guy I think that could beat him left with
maybe Gustafson.
Yeah, maybe, but did they fight twice already? Once already? It was a good fight. Yeah. I don't think he'd get him in a rematch. No.
Was his last fight with Gustafson?
No, Oben St. Preux.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. He fought St. Preux, and then and that was kind of a boring fight. It wasn't great.
Right.
But he didn't dislike St. Preux like he dislikes DC.
Who's on this card? We got to figure it out, Gary. The undercards are other. They usually
for 214.
Yeah.
Damian, the other big fights are Damian Maia versus Tyron Woodley for a title, and I believe Valentina Shevchenko, but let me pull it up.
All right. Anyway.
Sam, any ambitions to go into broadcasting, analysis, anything like that afterwards?
I would love to. Step one is I got to keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, you got to want that career, of course, go as long as possible. But
no, I would love to. I like talking.
You're not bad at it.
I teach a lot of classes at my gym, and I like communicating with people. It's definitely, if somebody offers me something, if I can start looking into it, I would love to.
Hmm. I was curious.
We were talking about, you know, the guys are super hardcore and very intimidating and always kind of angry. Are those dudes put off by your demeanor that you're just such a cool guy?
I would think so.
Is that something you're doing on purpose?
It's just who I am, but I would think so because I've had a couple of guys, you know, they mean mug as hard as they can. They put their forearm up in my throat and it all ends the same for them.
I was wrong about Shevchenko. It's Cyborg versus Tanya Avenger from Invicta.
So what if I bet $100 on John Jones?
So working out.
All right.
Let's I believe Brian was close to right, but let me get you an exact.
I'm surprised that he's that big a favored.
Me too. With so much time off, I thought he would. I thought it would have been a lot closer to 50-50. Yeah. Yep.
Well, it shows again. Vegas just goes where the money goes, mm-hmm. and then the line floats along accordingly because they want to make their vig. And it just goes to show you that. The guy's never lost or really been close to losing in a sport where the best of the best of the best of the legends all either lose or come very close to losing and getting beaten up. He's the only guy who's never really had that close a fight. And Gustafson gave him a good run, but he never thought the guy was in danger. Yeah, Brian was right. You'd win $39 if you spent $100.
That was pretty good off the top of your head.
Hey, you stick to fighting, I'll save the gambling.
Yeah.
The thing about the competitive advantage to being Smiling Sam is that, you know, you're smiling when times are good, but if you're grimacing and you're in a chokehold, they can't tell if you're smiling or grimacing. I'll give him this everything I got. Like, he won't stop smiling.
All right, should we do a little news with Smiling Sam and Gina Grad?
Mm-hmm. Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Let me hit Simply Safe first, and then we'll go right into it. You take precautions every day, Smiling Sam. Where's a mouthpiece? Got to protect that smile. You have identity theft protection. How about Simply Safe? No hassles. You just order it online, completely wireless. Comes in a pre-programmed box, so it works right out of the box. It's all pre-programmed. Just plug it in, get started, install it yourself. Do it in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in the wall, no drilling, no exposed wires. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch, only $14.99. No long-term lock-in contracts. Go to simplysafeadam.com. Get your 10% off. Order today. Simply, two I's in there, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafeadam.com. Good company. Get a break on your renter's insurance. Simplysafeadam.com. Get the 10% off. Get it up and running in less than an hour. Sorry. Gina Grad.
Well, Sam, I know you think you're a badass, and that's cute, but Michael Phelps raced a shark. Okay.
Oh, I heard.
So let's talk about that. Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps' much-hyped race against a great white shark finally aired Sunday night.
Wait, I did the math on this. So the math was, we did the math, but I was like, Phelps swims at 5 or 6 miles an hour or something. The shark swims at 28 miles an hour. Yeah. So let's...
We're going to retrofit you with a super fin, and we're going to... except Quaaludes to the shark.
Yeah, so Mr. Magoo walks at 4 miles an hour. Usain Bolt walks at 21, yeah. Runs at 21 miles an hour. So they should have a race, yeah. Right?
Silly.
All right.
Well, this is how it went down. The competition, of course, was featured in Discovery's Phelps versus Shark, Great Gold versus Great White, as part of its famous Shark Week summer programming. However, he wasn't actually racing next to the shark, by the way. Discovery Channel staffers calculated the Great White's time, compared it to Phelps, and sort of superimposed them together as though they were swimming next to each other. So who won and by how much? Here's the clip.
What was the distance?
It was 100. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure. It says this was 100 meters off the coast, so I don't know what the distance is.
It was exactly who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Right. It was a longer distance, and I've read an article that says that while that miles per hour is true, it's hard for sharks to sustain that.
But
so
to be fair,
stretched it to make it more fair.
But the shark was handicapped because I believe in this clip he does have a seal in his mouth. So that might
oh, really?
Yeah. This is the last just, 5 or 6 seconds.
The white shark rockets over the finish line.
Whee!
Winning the race by 2 seconds.
2 seconds. So it was 38.1 seconds for Phelps and 36.1 for the shark.
This is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is a very dangerous message. Let me explain why.
Thanks, Obama.
Phelps is a good swimmer, and he's a fast swimmer, but he's really just a couple of tenths, even a tenth or hundredths or thousandths faster than the guys you beat, right? And I would reckon that there are probably a lot of guys in high school who are pretty damn good at swimming that are probably only 2 seconds off of what he is in 100 yards or there and a back. Now, that's a lifetime in that world, and you don't make any Olympic team, but there's probably a bunch of guys that are captains of their high school swimming team. And if they went down to the end of the Olympic pool, one direction, Phelps would beat them by a second and a half or 2 seconds or what have you. Now, that kid... He's doing the math. He's out with his buddies. He's fishing. Mm-hmm. He's off of the northern coast out there by the bay. Mm-hmm. Sees a great white. And he calculates, I got 4 or 5 seconds on this thing. Mm-hmm. Phelps beat him by 2. Phelps only 2 seconds faster than me. And I'm 7 seconds ahead of this great white. So he jumps in.
Watch this. Hold my fishing pole, he says.
That's a Darwin Award winner.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, the shark drops the seal it was playing with and goes after the young, promising high schooler who will never see college because of this.
Because of this. Thanks,
because
Discovery.
Of this. Yeah.
Thanks, Discovery Channel.
It's very dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, that's a good point.
Really
thank
well
you.
Said. Well
you know
said.
What? I've never recognized, but thank you. Hey, Gary, Phelps's best time on a 50 meter or 100 meter, whatever it is, versus the high school record.
Mm. Yeah.
Do we think it's not going to be 5 seconds?
No, it's going to be close-ish. I mean, like I said, an eternity for, the pool, but, in real world time, a couple seconds.
What do you think, Smiling Sam?
I was going to say, before my last fight, I hurt my ankle. So the last 2 weeks of camp, I had to swim a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's safe to say that shark would have eaten me real close to the starting line.
It's also all the smiling slows you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Taking
very,
too much water.
You're like a whale shark sucking in all the plankton.
Just today, be dour, Sam.
You're inhaling too much water. All right. Yes, the high school.
I'll say 3 seconds just to be different.
It feels like somewhere between 2 and 3 is what I would say. Now, it depends. If it's just one way, that's one thing. If it's there and back, we're going to have to double that time.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
I would think going both ways would give you an advantage. Sharks can't turn that fast, can they?
They don't do the kick turn.
Yeah, they can't kick off. So you would have, I think with the kickoff, you'd have a better shot. Assuming the shark had stayed in his lane.
I told you make a great analyst.
Well, we'll stay in the water while Gary figures that out. The Navy just announced that they have their very first female Navy SEAL candidate. And a second woman is a candidate to be a special warfare combatant crewman, another elite special ops job. These two candidates are the first to make it to this far since the Pentagon announced that women could serve on the front line nearly 18 months ago. The women who have not been named will have to go through the grueling basic underwater demolition SEAL training and must complete the exact same training as the male candidates. And speaking of odds, where are you at with that? I mean, if they got through after everybody else,
I'm women in combat, no problemo.
Especially and it's whatever, a self-selecting thing. Like, right. You want to be a SEAL, you'll probably make a pretty good SEAL.
Yeah, whatever. Look, my whole thing with any of this stuff is Navy SEAL, fireman, firewoman, whatever it is. If you can take the 100-pound pack and go up to the third story of the training tower and ring the bell in under 30 seconds, then you're in. My only problem is if we give the women an extra 30 seconds to do it. Now, that seems good, but then you don't want that person coming to your house getting your morbidly obese kid out of bed when they can't ring the bell or they're given a different criteria to measure up there. So, as long as the measuring's the same. I did hear one interesting thing that I'd never thought about women in battle that I'd never had any... The thought never crossed my mind, but it kind of made me go, which is there is a sexual component, which is you get abducted by ISIS or Al-Qaeda, you're going to get raped.
They're making an example out of you.
Right. In which case, if there's a woman in your platoon and she gets captured, you got to do everything not to let her get thrown in the towed a pickup truck with a machine gun in the bed and taken off. Yeah. To the cave.
That's a good point.
And that does add an extra element. I don't think if a guy gets abducted, it's bad, but if a woman gets abducted, it's horrific. And that's the only part. I never thought about that, but I was like, captured, with a Geneva Convention and a what have you, that's something else. But this is captured by guys who like to burn Jordanian pilots in a cage.
Right. But in that sense, the Geneva Convention doesn't apply to them either. So what's the difference? I mean, something horrific is going to happen to whoever gets captured in that sense.
I think the idea of capturing the first woman SEAL or a female combatant is probably a bigger prize if you're ISIS or whoever.
Right. So I'm just saying in Devil's...
The men might be... kept and traded for other prisoners or something like that. I think a woman would be horrifically violated.
Well,
you know what movie is not going to age well, strangely, given all this?
G.I. Jane.
I was about to say G.I. Jane.
I know you're
not
right.
Not as a joke. Be like kids in 10, 20 years are going to be like, why are they being so mean to her?
Yeah.
She's just trying to
doing
be one
job.
Of them.
Yeah. Uh-oh, we have some breaking news.
Phelps losing to high school records in many events.
I'm like triple checking this, but multiple sources are suggesting that the high school all-time best records are better than his all-time best times.
Wow.
Interesting.
Seems weird.
Lots of kids can beat sharks.
It does seem very weird. I'm going to continue checking this. Please feel free to tweet me if I'm wrong, but I'm looking at the Wikipedia for Michael Phelps' career best times, and for instance, the 100-meter freestyle, it says he did it in 47.51, and then in the USA high school national record, this is from SwimmingWorldNewsMagazine.com, it says that the 100-meter free, the boys' record is held by Jack Conger at 42.8,
that's
which is a full 5 seconds less.
Big difference.
You know what other movie's not going to age well? Or at least the scene is striking me is not going to age well? It's going to be confusing to kids today and soon in the future. The scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where John Candy takes his socks off in the plane and it's like supposed to be a funny moment where like, oh, he's taking his socks off.
How inappropriate.
How inappropriate and gross. It's like, no, that's just what people do now.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, why the kids aren't going to, Tessa's not going to understand why that's supposed to be funny.
Look at those uptight people around him.
Yeah. Why are they giving him a hard time? He's just taking his shoes off.
I'm flummoxed now by this whole Phelps revelation.
I am too. I'm another one.
5 seconds?
Well, if you go into other events, it's less egregious, but still, I mean, he specializes in the butterfly, right? So 100-meter butterfly, Phelps' record, and this is his entire career, the best recorded times. His best one is 49.82 in Rome in August of 2009. And when you go to the same high school records in Swimming World News magazine, the boys' record is 45.2.
Silly
or 45.5.
Question. Are they using, is one using an Olympic-sized pool and one's using a smaller size?
I mean, these
pool?
Are events that are 100-meter. I can't imagine
they
that
have
it would be
to.
Different.
They have to.
This is the 100-meter fly on Phelps' record and the high school record. I'm very confused as well, but I'm...
Well, because one would part go, well, the guy in high school specializes in this event, or the other guy doesn't. But when Phelps does it, he's swimming against the 8 or 9 fastest guys in the world.
And they're setting world records a lot of the time.
Maybe those guys never went to high school. That could be it.
That's the obvious answer.
There's a loophole.
Mm-hmm. They're Doogie Howser-esque. They went right from junior high to the Olympics.
Well, the AP reports that a medical marijuana businessman in Maine is offering weed for weeds in a program to encourage residents to clean up their city. Dennis Meehan, owner of Summit Medical Marijuana, offers residents 21 or over who collect trash on Saturdays free weed. Meehan says the program is about bringing awareness to the life-changing nature of cannabis as well. Gifting marijuana is legal in Maine, so you show up with a bag of trash and you get some weed. Weed for weeds.
I feel like he's going after the wrong crew, because like, that's an unmotivated group. Yeah. And picking weeds is
when you're
pretty, pretty motivated. On the other hand, it drives me nuts. I hate the fact that this city's so trashy. I hate those weeds. We had a big old rainy season. You get these huge stalks by the side of the freeway of like super weeds.
Yes.
Like they're 7 feet, 8 feet tall, like in Hollywood. And anyway, they're just pushing through. I never
pushing
like
through,
is there
mangled,
somebody's
chain link.
Isn't that somebody's jurisdiction? Like
Dawson heard super weed,
dude. It's the ugliest, weirdest thing ever. They get all weird and dried out, but they're all along the sides of the freeways. Yeah. Why is there anyone in charge of that?
There's no commission for this.
No,
to clean up the.
Well, there are a lot of tents among them.
Well, so, now there are.
Okay,
well, yeah.
Maybe
now there are.
Leave it alone.
All right,
I've figured out some of our controversy here. This. There's basically two different kinds of courses I'm now learning and reading. It's whether the pool is 50 meters long versus 25 meters long.
Oh, Brian's right.
So it's still 100 meters, but it's four times
there and
back.
I was sort of thinking of that.
So it gets a lot closer, but he's still not winning in every single one. The high school records, I'm not positive as to why, but
so that
it gets
kid,
closer.
When he encounters the great white, doesn't need to shave anything off of his time.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if he's bested Phelps and Phelps is 2 seconds, he can just...
Give the
Get it down
to
1 second. Yeah.
All right.
That's the weirdest piece of information I've ever heard in my life.
We're getting a lot of tweets tomorrow.
Yeah.
Explaining or so, or clarifying or something.
I forget about the whole Shark Week. I would watch a special. I'd watch a special to see if Phelps, when piled high with his 21 medals or whatever it is, some gold, mostly gold, whatever, if he could put them on and get to the other end of the pool. Watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love him to watch him go to Davy Jones' locker.
Ironically, then, weighed down by the medals he's won for
weight of his winnings.
Now, every one he took off, he'd have to give to the dentist that shot Cecil the Lion.
I did not see this twist coming.
So
that's a motivator.
His whole thing is he would have to swim, like I'd be like Olympic-sized pool, you got to go there and back 10 times. And each time you feel like you're not making it, one's got to go off, we will give it to the dentist.
Thank you.
He'll just be smiling and polishing his gun.
Oh, another gold.
He's wearing full safari gear. And we'll make a
I can barely get this over my pith helmet.
I'll do a pay-per-view. And women would be in the audience crying and screaming, no!
The same reaction as seeing Trump at the preview.
Yes, I know. 28 medals. We'd do an endurance thing, and at some point, he'd have to like stop in the middle of the pool, and he'd be sinking and out of breath, and he'd start taking one off, and women would be breaking down and screaming, and the dentist would
Don't
be standing there. Come on.
Don't do it, Brian.
Like.
You'd have to think he's swam with those medals already. If I had 28 Olympic medals, I would have done whatever I won those medals for with those medals on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I agree.
If a power lifter, I would have power lifted. Swimming, I would have swam with them. I don't think I'd ever take them off. I think...
You may be right, but I don't think each one weighs 1.1 pounds, so we're coming on to 30 pounds here or
Sam
more.
Sam can take that off in 3 days.
Yeah. Give me a week.
Around your neck? Yeah, he could cut that weight. Yeah. Well, that'd be a faster way for you to cut weight.
Way more comfortable. Just take the medals off. I'm not doing it, Dana.
Hey, for the weigh-in, let's see if you can borrow a few medals from Phelps. And
when I miss weight the first, hold on a second. I gotta pull my Olympic medals off your neck.
Yeah, do that, and then take the underpants off when you make weight. That's the two power moves. 30.8 pounds.
Ooh, weighty.
In the dentist.
Oh, another gold.
New fillings with the ribbon and all the stuff.
You know what we have done is that we've got weighted like hand wraps or weighted ankle stuff, and we'll do rounds with that. And it's where every punch is an extra pound. So at the end
really?
Of the day, you throw it's an extra 800 punches or 800 pounds if you're throwing that much or having a busy day like that. So you might be able to use it to help you train a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know they had the weighted wraps. I've seen the gloves, but then you wouldn't want to punch anybody.
Yeah, you're hitting mitts or hitting the bag or something right. with the weighted stuff.
All right, Gina Grand, one more.
Well, speaking of Cecil, I don't know if we talked about this yet, but it happened again. TMZ reports that another one of Cecil the Lion's sons has died the same way his father did. Shot and killed
this
by
time
trophy
was the
hunters.
Hygienist.
Cecil Jr.
Yeah.
Xanda. He was a 6-year-old in his prime. He was a father himself. He had several young cubs. Was reportedly killed by professional hunter Richard Cook, who also killed Xanda's brother.
Jesus.
Cecil was killed 2 years ago, and his death at the hands of American dentist Walter Palmer sparked international outrage. Xanda was found dead, still wearing the electronic collar just outside the Hwangay National Park. The park released a statement saying, quote, "We can't believe that now, 2 years since Cecil was killed, that his oldest cub, Xanda, has met the same fate. When will the lions of Hwangay National Park be left to live out their years as wild, born free lions should?"
When that country gets some sort of economy where
this is the most money they made all month.
Yeah, it's, you know, whether it's the ivory or whatever it is, you have people that are desperate for money and there's ivory or there's a lion over there. It's like, by all means. Mm-hmm. It's weird that how we work, though, right? Like, the first guy is a pariah and is splashed all over the newspapers and everything. And then they kill the second one. And we've decided
our outrage has petered out.
But this is why I get outraged at the outrage, which is, do you care or don't you care? And if you do care, then be equally as outraged by Cecil's son or what's the name?
Yeah,
Xanda. CJ.
Yeah.
Cecil Jr.
Yeah. His son being shot. Is he being shot? This one has gotten, I saw a tweet or something, but it's got way less than 5% of the ire or capture of the imagination or whatever, because we just decided randomly, not so much.
Is it that, or are we just jaded? It's like, well, what are you going to do? It clearly didn't stop anyone from killing another one.
We do a thing where we decide without a discussion what we're going to jump on and what we're not going to jump on. Yeah. And when we jump on it, we all jump on it, except for me, because I'm not a retard, but everyone else jumps on it. And then they get super outraged and then they move on. And then there are things that are either equally as outrageous or even more outrageous that just somehow somebody decides that they get a pass.
Yeah. Well, didn't the original Cecil, like the guy, have like a selfie or there was some sort of egregious photograph taken or something? So some Facebook status?
Because
it kind of captured the zeitgeist. Like there were thousands of lions killed before. Four, and there will be thousands of lions killed after.
Right.
For some reason, that one captured, you know,
this
some sort
has
of
a face to it.
Yeah.
Right.
And how do you drag that home? What do you do with that?
Shit in pieces.
I don't know. Like, I'm both, which is, I do not like it. I'm not a fan. I've never hunted. I don't get it. It doesn't seem like the kind of guy I'd like to hang out with. And on the other hand, there's atrocities being committed to kids and women all over the place, times a million, times one lion getting shot. So I don't like any of this, but I'd like to focus on the atrocities with the women and the kids first, and then we'll get to this.
I'm with you.
That's me.
Yeah.
All right, one more?
Yeah. Well, Madonna has managed to get the sale of a pair of her underwear from 20 years ago blocked as stolen property.
Tell Matt I need the deposit back then. I need my deposit back.
It said buy it now.
Yep, but now the guy hoping to sell them.
It's the first non-cleaning deposit I've ever put down where I actually pay in advance so they won't be clean.
If these get to me and they're perfectly clean,
laundered,
you're going to hear from
F minus.
They come on a hanger with that piece of cardboard tube at the bottom that it prolongs. That tampon applicator, not for me.
You smell like a department store. Take them back.
Yeah, it's a pre non-cleaning deposit. Yes, go ahead.
Well, now the guy hoping to sell them says he's got the panties straight from the star, so he doesn't get why he can't sell them. It's his property. His name's Peter Hsu. He briefly dated Madonna back in the early 90s. He told New York's Daily News that he just got out of prison after a stint of selling drugs and needs the cash.
Could have happened to any one of us. Let's not judge.
Hsu, who's throwing in a love letter from Madonna along with the satin panties, says, quote, "What am I going to keep them for? I don't wear them. I'm not going to give them no girl to wear. Should I throw them in the garbage or should I try to get a dollar off of them? If she feels so strongly about the getting the underwear back, she could bid
on
them.
Back herself.
Nobody can outbid her. Get her panties back." A judge pulled Madonna. Please don't, Brian. A judge pulled Madonna's underwear off the auction block earlier this week, but Hsu is appealing the decision. If they do go up for grabs, what do you think the opening bid is? Just to start.
Feels like they should be his.
What is the... All right, so what's the auction house? Do we know?
Sotheby's? No, I don't know if it's going to...
Could be eBay.
Okay. Well, be curious to find out what kind of auction, because I think I heard about this, and they have celebrity memorabilia.
This is a real way to verify auction. That they belong to Madonna.
Yeah, like she's pissed.
She wouldn't be throwing this fit if they weren't hers. Like, right. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
There's your authentication.
Yeah,
there's
your certificate of authenticity.
Yeah. Oh, completely agree, and I think... in this particular case, like, I don't like the lying part, but her thing should just be, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
It's a
moving on.
It's a weird online auction house called Gotta Have Rock and Roll. Looks pretty shady.
Okay. So
opening bid.
We have her panties.
And a love letter.
From the mid 90s.
Yeah.
And
please enjoy these panties, which belong to me, Madonna.
And a love letter. Yeah. P.S. In 2017, do not put these on. I love it. First off, I love it when guys, especially total douchebag, just dirtbag, douchebag, douche pot, douche nozzle dudes. I love it when they do the, hey, I can't wear them. Somebody should enjoy them. Yeah, that's the criteria for everything in life.
Yeah,
you can't wear women's underpants, so you have to auction them off. Yeah, because what other choice would you have?
Put them in a drawer, tuck them away.
Yeah, no.
Throw them in the garbage.
People should be able to enjoy them.
For 20 years, he's held on to these underwear. I mean, he put them somewhere while he was in jail.
Yes.
Right. Right.
No matter what happens to me, protect the underwear.
Why is right now the time to sell them?
He's probably treating it like Sam Jackson treated the letter from Abraham Lincoln.
Keeps it in his breast pocket.
Just wait till
Friends
she dies.
Want to see it.
Yes. Hey, they'll triple in value if they wait till she dies.
Kurt Russell wants to sniff them.
We'll post the photo, but the image of the auctioneer does not disappoint.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, so there's the letter.
This is the fellow?
That's the gentleman caller.
All right, and the panties. Okay, so mid-90s, Madonna. Now,
this is blonde ambition era.
We need to see any photographs of her up on stage wearing the short skirts or the whatever outfits
with the garters and
the cone bra, and these panties would be huge. Yep. She probably aren't.
Well, that would mean it was a costume. These were her, like, panties.
Pro panties.
Yeah, I get it. But so there's not going to be any of that.
Right.
But if they're authentic.
If she's, again, throwing this big of a fit, they're hers.
I say John Jones buys them after he wins. I say 10 grand.
Starting bid 10 grand. Brian?
That sounds about right. He's greedy. I'm going to say 20,000.
Right, well, 10. He can't start the bid. He can have a reserve.
Oh, okay.
So the reserve, you guys probably know what a reserve is, but I'll tell you what everyone reserve is. If I want to take one of my Lamborghinis to auction.
One of your panties.
One of my panty guineas to auction, and the car's worth $1 million, I got to have a reserve of $900K,
right.
$925, $875, or what have you.
Not just best offer.
Because if something happens and there's nobody in that room, and or there's some collusion or something, and the hammer's dropping at $400,000, and imagine Imagine if you said, I'm taking my $1 million house in Sherman Oaks to offer and to auction. And at some point, I was like, 380, 385. All right.
Sold.
We're going to sell the three of it. You'd be like, no, it's $1 million house. Yeah. So you have your reserve. And if the thing stalls, let's say you set reserve at 900 grand and it stalls out at 800, then they'll put you in a room with that guy, the highest bidder,
yeah,
and you and your reserve, and the auction house will go, hey, what can we do? Can we get you guys together? Because the auction house wants to make the sale.
Oh, right, because they get a little spiff off that.
Right. So the guy who's buying it will say, like, okay, well, I don't want to pay you 10% auction right. house. And they'll go, okay, we'll take a little haircut. If we can get you guys, we'll take 6% if we can get you guys right. together. And then the guy selling it goes, well, I don't want to give you the money. And then they'll work it, but they'll make a deal.
Interesting.
And they'll get it. They'll get it
Look
done.
At the sale made.
So, okay, so there's
now,
a penny reserve.
They won't get it done if the last if the last bid is nowhere near
right.
the reserve.
Too far in.
So this guy will have some sort of $5,000, whatever somehow he thinks is the reserve, and it won't go for less than that.
Okay.
Unless it's a no reserve auction.
In which case, happy bidding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll come down a little bit and say 15. I'll say 15.
I have a feeling you guys are better at this panty auction.
This is maybe our first panty auction.
It's not our first panty rodeo, so, if that's what you're asking. Speaking of panties, how about you quit the grinning and drop the linen yeah. next time you show up on that scale?
I think it might happen.
It's weight. Weight is weight.
I'm going to have to price and write it. I think I'm going to go $10,001.
Oh, look at you. Yeah.
Wait, now you
got
to go 15-1 because Brian kicked it up, right?
Well, he went up to 20. There's no way that anyone's going to pay more than 20 for a pair of used underwear.
Why are you being so cheap, Sam?
Steve McQueen stuff's going for a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, fire suits and racing jackets and sunglasses.
What's his underwear going for?
Yeah.
Fireproof underwear, probably?
Well, what it's worth to me, you can't put a price
Invaluable.
On
it. Invaluable.
Hey, Gary, when does the auction, or is the auction supposed to go off?
Well, they blocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're waiting at...
Or wait.
Judge's orders, I guess.
And I do, and I'm not sure what Madonna, I'm sure there's a sort of decency thing. I guess what Madonna's argument is sort of like,
come on.
The underpants aren't my property, but the essence is.
Tomorrow.
Which makes
them valuable.
Right.
Is me.
Yeah. The never worn Madonna underpants. Not the same value at all. Well, Gary, follow the story closely. Please.
You got it.
Well, would you like to know the answer? The opening bid.
Oh, the opening bid.
Was your reserve amount $5,000.
Oh. Interesting.
Because you can only go up. You know,
you know what's weird?
Plenty of room.
Now it's apropos to the panties, but I always tell people, whether it's like going into a good steakhouse and they go, how much for the porterhouse, or going into someone's physical house or looking at a new Ferrari that's come out, I always tell people, I can sniff it. I can kind of smell, like, you know, when you deal with a bunch of exotic cars and different stuff and stuff, you kind of go, what's that Jag going to go? And you go, that's probably about $100,000. And you're not far off. Like, you'll never have it. I always said, people, I have a good sniffer. Like, and kind of, you can do it with shoes, you know, before you turn them over. Yeah. You can kind of look at them.
Hey,
looks like $300.
Listen up, Spike. Adam Carolla, auction sniffer. That's your next show.
Give me another hamper over here.
I'll tell you what that's worth.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Get her panties back. Gina
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, LifeLock. Let me tell you, there's a new scam, smishing. That's right. Fraudulent texts that appear to be from your bank or credit card company. Always
bogus texts quite often, actually.
Always call to verify alerts before clicking the links. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web, and they could use it to get a online payday loan in your name. Let's not let that happen to you. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best. So Let's be smart. Do what I did. Do what I did for myself and my family. I went with LifeLock.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That's Adam15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. You can go to the podcast masterclass at Irvine. That's coming up Saturday, August 5th. We'll all be there. It's 6 hours long. It's going to be a masterclass on podcasting, and I'll be your captain for that voyage. Also, you can go to Corolla Drinks, and they're having a Corolla music and comedy event Saturday. South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Everybody's going to be there. Dawson's going to be playing. Max Pata's band's going to be playing. Stand-up's going to be there. Stand-up comedy. We're going to have Endless Ran IPA and all the good stuff and barbecue and everything else. So go out. That is on the, what did I say, the 29th?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Oh, that's right. Saturday night, man. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need and some good offerings at Chassis, some new movies at CHASSY.com. Check that out. UFC Fight Night 114 in Mexico City with the Altitude, man. Smiling Sam Evans fighting Alvey, sorry. Fighting a Sugar Rashad Evans. I think it was Sugar Rashad. Sugar Rashad Evans, man. That's going to be a hell of a bout. Check that out and shoot Sam a tweet at Smile N, just a capital N, Sam, if you would. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Smile and Sam Alvey, Gina Grandball, Brian Sam. Mahalo. Can you believe I was considered an idiot?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Waze on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We might put it on the podcast. 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings, 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Please come out Saturday night at South Bay Customs, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets for Rock at the Shop at CorollaDrinks.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Corolla Cruise in November. The Podcasting Masterclass coming up on August 5th. Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcast1.com.